You're listening to a Castaway Media podcast. Find more great shows at castaway.media or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/castawaypodcasts.
Welcome to Retro Asylum and episode 138. Now it's myself, Paul Driscoll, aka The Drisk, and joining me is our new member to the team, Mads Christensen. Did I say that right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
aka Mads DK. How are you doing, matey?
I'm fine, Paul. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. I had a nice week off, so it's been just generally sort of lots of time for retro gaming, which has been great for me.
Sounds
a great
fantastic.
Experience. But so what have you been up to retro related?
Well, not much other than playing all of the games for this episode, actually.
Playing
a lot of good shmups. I love my Mega Drive shmups, so it's been great. And working on some of my videos, of course, as well, the Amiga CD32 review project. So I've been playing a bit of some games with B, like, for example, Bubba and Styx.
Awesome game.
Yeah, great yeah. games. Yeah,
I've been really enjoying your series. I'm just saying, for those who don't know, basically Mads has been going through, rather crazily, some would say, every single game that was released on the Amiga CD32. Officially released game, I should say. It would be there all year if it was all the homebrew
versions. I think I have 162 titles to go through, and
I've
already
more than enough.
20 something now, so yeah. I'll get there eventually.
But for those who haven't listened, check out our YouTube channel. As I say, Mads has been doing an amazing job, really in-depth reviews, and it's a great thing as well. This is why I'm such a fan of the CD32, is it really was a lot of the best games that came out on the Amiga, and it's so great having easy access to the games, isn't it?
Definitely. I love playing all of my old favorite Amiga games in my couch with a controller in hand on the big screen TV. It just feels a lot better than sitting in front of the old 14-inch monitor I was working with when I actually had my Amiga.
Yeah. Mind you, you've got me being bitten with the retro bug for CD32 with your game. Did you see my picture that I did of all the games I've collected so far?
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah. I'm sorry, Paul.
For those who have not seen, I've been collecting quite a bit of CD32. I don't know how many games I've got. Quite a number now. I think it's maybe up to 35 or something. And since that picture, just so you know, I'm really chuffed. I won Fire and Ice on eBay.
That's a classic, yes.
Which I've been after that for so long, and it's like normally it goes for about £50, and I just can't justify. I struggle to justify, although I was wavering even at £50 for Fire and Ice, because it's such a good version. When you get up to the Fs, it's such a great version, because it's not only is it a brilliant platformer, probably one of the best on the Amiga in my opinion, but also the music that they've done is just phenomenal with the CD version.
Yes, it is a really good game. That was an Andy Braybrook game, right?
Yes,
the guy
that's
did the conversion of Rainbow Islands, one of my favorite Amiga games ever. Is Rainbow
yes,
Islands. That sport is excellent.
That's right. Yeah, Andy Braybrook, he did that, and he really knew how to push the Amiga, didn't he?
Yeah, he definitely did.
And the other thing that I've got coming, which I don't think was in the picture, I've got now, is Zool 2.
Oh yes.
So yeah, I'm slowly building up, and it's all thanks to you. I'll get my wife to thank you later when she sees
the
bank statement. Yeah. So apart from doing the CD, doing the reviews and playing the games, I guess you probably haven't had much time for much else, have you? Really?
No, not really. Full time work and three little kids. Doesn't leave me a lot of extra time.
I know the feeling. For me, I've been really lucky because I was off last week. Originally, we were planning to go somewhere.
Yeah.
But it didn't. It sort of fell through. It turned out that my wife could only get 2 days off that week. So rather than cancel it, which would have been the sensible thing, I decided, no, I'm going to enjoy it. So I had friends over every day, you know, different friends around every day that are into retro gaming as much as me. So I was having the time of my life, to be honest, because it was like playing co-op gameplay, which is always brilliant. You can't beat sort of two live people sat side by side for playing games. It's just great.
Well, that sounds like the best kind of holiday to me.
Yes, well, it was. And even better than that, we did a tour of some of the retro game shops. So I went to some of the more further afield ones, and that was brilliant. There's one called Vintage Gamer, which is in Hales Owen, which is it's on the outskirts of Birmingham. So it takes a little bit to get there from where I am. I'm going to put in the club magazine. So if you're club members, I took lots of photos, so I'm going to show people what the retro shop looks like. Oh, I also put the photos on the on our forum as well, so it's there for people. But it's probably one of the best retro gaming shops I've ever come across. Nick, who owns it, he's just one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He's one of those. He's not really running it as a business. He just loves retro gaming. And he treats it all as a passion, and so consequently, the prices that he quotes are like far cheaper than anyone else. It's a real gem of a place.
Oh, that does sound excellent.
Yeah, and even better in the back, he usually has like a handful of arcade machines that are free to play. He'll put
small
on
arcade.
Yeah, exactly. And one of them is Racing Hero, which is quite an obscure Sega racing game. It's like a motorbike game that people don't often see. And certainly in the UK, there's only two in existence.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
No. I mean, for those who went to the Winter Warmer Festival last year, they probably would have seen it on display because he had one of the stands, so he brought it along for that. But it is. It's one that doesn't emulate particularly well. So it's a real treat to be able to play it on the original hardware. I mean, it is only a stand-up.
Oh, so it's one of those with the handlebars.
It's one, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's with the handlebars, but it's still standing up. But for those who've never seen it, it's sort of it's like Super Hang-On, but you're looking over the handlebars. Came later than it's right on that sort of era of Radmobile and things like that, so it's that kind of same graphical effect. So yeah, so I had the time of my life there, really good, and I spent far too much money.
Oh yeah, you sent me some pictures. You did pick up some really neat stuff.
Yeah, I picked up the Astro Wars Grandstand, which is like an LCD tabletop machine, which is one of the best tabletops that has ever been created, in my opinion. For those who don't know, it's like a Galaxian style shooter, but there's sort of like four different modes as you sort of play through the levels that it cycles, and there's different skill levels as well. So me and my friend Charlie, we spent the whole evening playing that, and we beat the game because 10,000 is like the top score. We beat the game.
So you can get 9,999, and then it stops.
Well, no, it actually gives you sort of like winning music.
Oh, okay.
So it's quite cool. But that was only on skill level one, and I've tried skill level two. And I'm about halfway through, but I'm getting better. I'm getting better, Mads, every time I play.
And how many levels are there, Paul?
There's four skill levels.
Okay.
So you choose that at the beginning of the game. But yeah, as Mads knows, and I'm sure most of our listeners know, I'm not the greatest game player, but I try, and that's important, isn't it? Mads.
Yes, yes, definitely.
I'm very trying.
Maybe the next time we do an episode, you'll actually want to compete with me, because I couldn't get you competing this time.
No, there's no way I'm going up against you on shooters. I know how good you are at shooters. I didn't want to be embarrassed myself, but yeah, maybe I'll get better. But yeah, no, I had a great time to sort of go into that.
This is Nancy at Chase headquarters. We have an emergency here. Carlos, the New York armed robber, has been seen listening to Retro Asylum without leaving a review on iTunes. Over.
Leave it to us, Nancy, baby. Let's go, Mr. Driver.
If you really enjoy the Retro Asylum podcast show, then please leave us a review on iTunes.
Place. I suppose, shall we sort of move across to our main topic now? What do you reckon?
Yeah, let's do that.
Just dive in. Yeah, so when compiling the list, we decided obviously we're going to cover Mega Drive shooters. So hopefully the name of the episode is called Mega Shooters. But when we were compiling the list, we sort of gave it a lot of thought, didn't we?
There are a lot of good shooters, yeah, on the Mega Drive.
There is. And so we tried to veer away from arcade ports, because although there's some brilliant arcade port shooters, obviously the arcade ports invariably the better version to go to. Not in all cases. Slap Fight MD springs to mind, but in most cases, you know, there's arcade ports you can go to. So we tried to keep ones that were exclusively for the Mega Drive, and give that real mix, isn't it, between the obscure classics, because there's quite a few that never left Japan, against, we threw in a couple of affordable ones, wasn't it, for the Mega Drive as well, that you can buy in the UK and Europe relatively cheaply.
Yeah, and a lot of these are actually available on the Wii Virtual Console as well.
Yes, yeah.
So they are available to play.
Yes, definitely. And I think we've got a great lineup, and hopefully there'll be quite a few games that many of our listeners maybe never tried before, and this will encourage you to give it a try and see what you think. So without further ado, shall we go on to our first game, and we'll just lead in with some of the music. So for those that are shooting aficionados, they probably will have recognized that music is for the game Musha, otherwise known as, go on then, I'll put you on the spot. What does it stand for?
Well, I've actually got it right here, so no problem. It's a metallic uniframe super hybrid armor,
yes,
in the American release. But the Japanese title was Musha Aleste Full Metal Fighter Eleanor.
Yes, that's right.
It's part of the Aleste series that has its roots on the MSX, where the first Aleste game was released back in 1988.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole host, isn't it, in the Aleste series.
Yes.
I mean, for fans on the Master System, they probably will know the Power Strike games, that they're also compile shooters and considered part of that series, isn't it? But in terms of the naming systems, you got the Aleste 2 and Aleste Gaiden, which is on the MSX, isn't it? And,
yes.
Robo Aleste on the Mega CD is also a great classic, and Space Mega Force on the SNES as well. Compile were brilliant, weren't they? They really knew their stuff when it came to shooters.
Oh yeah, they did. And the super elite store. Do you call it elite or list?
I call it elite, but then okay. I was trying to follow your lead because you usually know your stuff when it comes to shooters.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about this. But the super elite, not the super Famicom or the SNES, should be really good as well.
Exactly. And bizarrely, actually, Compile also created the Puyo Puyo games. The puzzle games with the matching as
oh,
well.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, so that, you know, that's just like, you know, known for their shooter butts, but also created this cool puzzle game as well. So it's so really, really cool. And yeah, I mean, on to the game itself. I don't know, how do you describe it? It's you're in a mech fighter, aren't you? And it's a vertical shooter, kind of in the realm of, I don't know, Xevious, or that's probably a bad example with Xevious, but maybe the Star Soldier games if you played those. And it's considered, I mean, if you ask a lot of shooting aficionados, particularly on the Mega Drive, they will probably say that this is the best shoot 'em up that exists on the Mega Drive. I'm not saying that necessarily that's what we're saying, but that is the, you know, generally, if you look at top 10 lists of what people consider the best shoot 'em ups on the Mega Drive, this will invariably be number one.
Well, it is a good game, no doubt about it. It's
definitely, yeah.
It's quite engaging. I like the story, and I like the graphics and the sound and everything. And it has a quite unique weapon system as well. I mean, you have the primary fire button. That's C, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's always available and can be upgraded. You just shoot your regular lasers or whatever that is. And then you have a secondary fire button that's only used when you have a power-up, like a water, energy, or fire special weapon. And these you can shoot this button at the same time as the primary fire, so you'll be pushing both buttons a lot of the time. And then you have your drones, you know, like I call it a drone. Some people call it a satellite.
Or buddies, I've heard them called.
Those small buddies that you had in R-Type as well. But you can control the behavior of your drones by using the A button. Brilliant gameplay mechanic. You really need to use it in the later levels.
Yeah, you can sort of change the directions that you're shooting. You send commands to them, isn't it?
Shooting forwards, shooting backwards, rotating around you, or even do home in on your enemies. I used to have it rotating around me most of the time. And that did the trick, but in boss battles it's better to have it shooting forwards, for example.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But and that is probably the thing that people really the reason it's in such high regard with this game, and unfortunately why it gets such a high price if you're buying legitimate carts, is purely because of this mechanic is just works so well, doesn't it? It just, and also, I suppose, the power-ups take hits, isn't it? So, so you can survive by losing sort of like the power-ups and without dying there and then, isn't it?
Yeah, if you have one of the power-ups, the water or energy or fire special weapons, you can take one shot and then you lose your power-up. And if you take another shot, then you die. And that's very, very usable, especially in the later stages where it can be quite bullet hill like this game.
Yes, exactly, because it does get insanely tough. Well, for me at least, it gets insanely tough as you progress sort of through. But there's just so much innovation with a lot of the ender level bosses and just the level and design in general, isn't it? It just always seems to be throwing new stuff at you with this.
Yes, there's a lots to see and lots to do. And,
yeah.
Lots of funny little gameplay mechanics, like I think in the third stage, all of a sudden the walls come at you from the sides. You have to avoid them while actually fighting a mini boss. That's a great gameplay mechanic. And a little later in the same stage, you have to get through like an obstacle course. Or maybe that was just before the walls start caving in. I'm not sure, but there are lots of stuff to do and see in this game.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the greatest things. It just never gets sort of dull. And there's just always something that's just really cool, like the way the floor falls away and leaves you the sort of lava underneath, isn't it? And sort of open. It's just a great sort of transition from one level to another.
If you actually stop to watch the game, I mean, you don't actually see the graphics that much in a shoot 'em up because you have to get in the zone, you have to flow between the bullets, and well, you can't really see what's going on, but if you do, you'll really enjoy this game. There are so many details in the graphics.
Yes, and I mean, it's not the prettiest game on the Mega Drive, but then also considering that this was, you know, 1990, so yes, very early Mega Drive release, but it's the graphics are still beautifully detailed, isn't it?
They are quite detailed. There are actually a lot of things going on, small details, if you stop and pay attention to it. Made me think a bit about the Banshee on the CD32. I mean, that's a great shooter as well, and it has so many little details. A lot more than this game, of course, but it's a later game as well.
It is true, actually. I was playing... I know it's going slightly off topic there, but it's always good. But I was playing Banshee last week because I've got that on the CD32. I picked it up.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, you're right. There's so many beautiful touches with the little screaming
yes,
soldiers and stuff. Yeah, no, I was having great fun with that. But yeah, no, back to this. Yeah, it's as I say, it's probably, for me at least, it's not my, and bear in mind, I'm not a shooting expert, so perhaps I'm not seeing all the nuances. It's not my most favorite shooter on this list, personally, but I still have amazing fun. I definitely put it in there in my top six. Absolutely no issues, no problems for myself. It's just a solid shooter. I had a blast playing it. I like the way his little legs dangled.
Her little legs. She's called,
yes,
Eleanor.
Is that her name? Yeah.
Yes.
I always skip through the intro. What is the story for? I mean, what's the story about? Because I saw all her buddies blew up, and since she was chatting.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Actually, it's a funny story, because there are two different stories. The Japanese version has one story, and the US version has another.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not sure. It is a shoot 'em up. The story is not that important, but suffice it to say, you're in a strike force of five mechanized mech flying guys,
yeah,
and girls, and your four teammates have been shut down by these amazing forces that are ahead of you that you have to combat now.
Yeah, no, and that's as much as I sort of gathered. Was I was too taken up with the music, actually. That's one thing I will say with this: the music is stunning, isn't it? Absolutely amazing music throughout.
Yeah, it has a really, really great soundtrack.
Yeah.
And again, that's something we'll talk about in the later games as well, because having a great soundtrack is, for me, extremely important in a shmup, because you have to be able to play a shmup really efficiently. You have to get in the zone. You have to find the right place. You have to avoid all distractions, only concentrate on your little flying thing on the screen, and avoid all the bullets and all that. And the music is very instrumental in that.
Yeah, and that's one thing I will say, actually, with a lot of these games, it really helps as well if you can ideally play it on a CRT.
Yes.
And you play ideally on the original hardware. When it's particularly with shooters, emulation, it just never, and particularly through non-CRTs when you're playing it on a traditional TV, it's just never quite the same. It's not quite the right look. And critically, the refresh rate, isn't it? That's what...
It's funny you say that, because I'd never really experienced this that clearly before. Because I was playing on emulation to begin with. I do have a Genesis or a Mega Drive and one of those Everdrives, so I can play it on the real hardware. But some of the games I actually did not like while playing them on emulation. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't really put my finger on why that was. But as soon as I got it on the real hardware, it was so much better. Maybe it was the input lag. Maybe it was those effects that the emulators always put on to smooth the graphics a bit on the LCD. But it works so much better on a CRT with the real hardware.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I was quite surprised at some of the ones that you were saying, oh, I'm just not liking this. And I'm like, how could you not like it? It's one of the best shooters. I went straight to the original hardware. You can pick this up, this particular game. I don't know, is the Wii Virtual Console still going now? I haven't checked.
I haven't checked neither.
No, but yeah, the Wii Virtual Console, if that's still going, you can pick this game up. Certainly that's what I've read. And from all intents and purposes, certainly according to some of the reviews I read, that it's, you know, it's great emulation.
Yes.
And it's well worth any way you can play it. Just track down Musha. It's a genuinely a classic shooter. And it's just such a shame that it fetches such ridiculously high prices to buy the game.
Yeah, I think it was about £150 to get a cart of this.
Yeah. There are repo carts out there, I noticed, on eBay. So if you're not worried about having the original but still want to play on your hardware, or you probably could go down the path that Mads and myself have gone down, which is EverDrive's wonderful way of playing some of these difficult, you know, I mean, these will be out the price range of a lot of people without things like the EverDrive. But yeah, very, very good. So I suppose, shall we lead in to our next game, or do you want to say more about this one?
Well, I have one last thing I'd like to say about Musha, and that is I really, really liked playing it. It was a lovely game, but I do have two complaints with it, actually.
Yeah.
One is I thought it was the first couple of levels, the first four or five levels, were actually a tiny bit too easy, because I didn't have to practice that much to breeze through those first four or five levels on a single credit. Mm. So my playing sessions were always a bit too long, actually. You know, when we grow up and we don't have that much time, it's nice to have a game you can pick up and play for just like 20 minutes. But this took a bit too long for a shmup for me, on a single credit. And the second is that it suffers from the same problem as plenty of shooters do. If you lose all your power-ups and you die in one of the later levels, well, you're a goner. You're in trouble.
Yeah, particularly up against the boss, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Boss fights were great. They were very interesting. And I like that. Actually, their difficulty was okay. I mean, it felt like you could probably beat them most of the time in one or two tries. You don't have to find out these really, really complicated bullet patterns. But they were great fun figuring out anyway.
Yeah, I know exactly where, apart from it being, I never find any of these shooters too too easy. But I quite liked how it sort of like gently led me in. But I enjoyed it. It's a good shooter, but I don't know whether it deserves quite the unbridled praise that it has heaped on it. It certainly deserves most of the praise, but as for the best shooter, I mean, I've even seen lists where people are saying it's the best shooter ever.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not in my opinion.
No, it's not.
It's a very, very good shooter, but I think I'm on the same page as you.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Charlie and I were out the back when Vera and Dave came by and said, come along and listen to our new podcast. And I was going to, but Charlie said, he says I shouldn't listen to strange people or imposters, and that I should only listen to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, the Retro Asylum podcast.
Now we'll come to the next game then. As I say, we're going through them chronologically. And that was Gayari's. Now, this is another 1990 shooter published by Renovation and developed by Telnet, which are pretty much unknown developer in the West. Some people might know the Varlis games by them, but I don't know. A lot of the other ones I didn't sort of recognize. I don't know if you've recognized any of the other games that they've produced.
No, actually I didn't know that developer at all.
No. Now this is one of those divisive games because I've read a lot of average reviews about this game, and for me, it's one of my favorite shooters, personally. It's basically a horizontal shooter. It's rock hard. I mean, we're talking platinum hard.
I'll agree with you here.
but the reason I love it is I think it has one of the coolest power-up systems that I've seen in any shooter.
Yes.
And that is, you basically have, it's called a TOZ system. So you have a sort of side craft, a bit like you get in R-Type when you sort of play through. But what's great about it is you can fire out your TOZ. You can't shoot at the time, so there's a risk when you do it. If you fire directly in front, it will grab the alien, if it comes from the front, it will grab the alien and pull it back, giving you that power up. So if there's a couple of enemy ships that fire lasers, fire shot lasers, then if you grab a couple of those ships of the same shooting type, then you'll have massive lasers because you sort of build up.
Yeah, you actually have this little bar in the top left corner that says how proficient you are using the weapon. And the first time you steal a weapon, you'll only have this, I would say a centimeter, like half an inch.
Yes, yeah.
of your proficiency. And if you steal it, I think three or four times probably, it'll be full. And then you'll have the largest version of the laser or the fire shot or whatever you've been stealing.
and then you accidentally grab one with missiles and it's like, oh, drat, I'm back.
And then
to
there's much cursing.
but the other thing as well is you don't have to use the TOZ just for that. If you can use it almost a bit like if you move the ship, you can move it like a sort of almost like a whip, so you can sort of fire it around, and if it hits the enemies from behind, it will destroy them.
Yeah, you can actually use it to protect yourself as well.
And
sometimes
a shield,
I would position it just right in front of me, and then it'll shield me from the enemy's bullets.
Yeah, it's just there's so many nuances to this, and that's why I think it's great. And what about that music as well? I just love the music.
Again, the music was just great. Actually, this is one of the games. This is the game that I was complaining about in the beginning when I was playing it on emulation, because I didn't really click with the music and the graphics and the gameplay style. But this is a game that's really, really grown on me. It works a lot better on the real hardware and sounds a lot better.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I think part of it was also that I had to teach myself how to play it, because it was so different, this upgrade system, this weapon system. So I had to get used to it. And, this is my favorite shmup on the Mega Drive now. It's a great game. It's rock hard, but I really love it.
Well, I'm glad that you came around to it, because I could, as I say, when Mads was like, we have like a private chat system that we use when we're organizing all these, and you just like, I hate this game, why have you chose it? And I'm like, it's good, honestly, stick with it.
Well, I think you just chose it to punish me in the beginning, but I've seen the light.
Yeah, it's so rock hard. I mean, go on, tell me, how far did you get through? Because I'll be honest with me just playing straight, I think I just got past, only just past that bloke with the wings, which is, I think, what stage two.
That's the mecha angel. He looks like an angel.
Yeah.
All of the bosses are these robots. Like female robots in very strange outfits, actually. But I can get past the first stage without dying, because I've played that a lot of times.
Yeah.
But the second stage, I got to the end of level boss. The mid-level boss is a bastard, by the way. It's this dragon. But the end-of-level boss beat the living daylights out of me. So not only the second stage.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'll be honest, that there is a cheat. So I kept on playing solidly without any cheats to try and see how far I could get. And I just kept on dying at that same point. And I was thinking, I really need to see further. than this, but didn't have the skills. So I did put on a cheat which helped.
Okay.
Considering, I think I only put on infinite credits and stuff, so but that helped me get through.
But still, with infinite credits, it must have been quite hard, because one thing that is, when you've been playing some of the other games here, one thing that can be a bit annoying in Gaiaris is that when you die, you go back to a checkpoint. You don't start right off where you left.
Yes.
So if you die in the middle of a boss fight, well, too bad, you have to restart that entire boss fight. But that was one of the things I really liked about this game, because that made me actually study and learn how to beat the bosses and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, but it is punishing, isn't it, when you go back all the way?
It is quite punishing, and I did almost throw my controller.
More than a times. And for those who don't know as well, this game was designed by Koji Yokota, who also did the design for ActRaiser, which is a real favorite and totally different. I mean, if those who have played ActRaiser, it's like a platform with RPG elements. I suppose that's one way of describing it.
Platform, a real strategy classic game.
Yes. Like, yeah, sort of like it got real-time strategy elements put in.
Yes.
But yeah, no, what a team. And as I say, just give this game a go. It's a real classic, isn't it? And
yes,
I could just listen to that music all day. I should say Megatech magazine said this was an excellent game, but they said it was the toughest horizontal shoot 'em up that you can buy for your Mega Drive. So even back then, they were saying how harsh it was.
Well, I can understand that, but it is a really, really good game, and it's a gift that keeps on giving, because you can just get that little bit better every time. And every time you die in this game, it feels fair. I never feel cheated.
Mm.
I mean, all of the bullets, except for the lasers, all of the bullets move fairly slowly, so you can actually maneuver around them without big problems if you just stay focused.
Yeah.
So it never feels like cheating. Or it never feels unfair when you die. It's your fault. And it's a game where you can learn the different patterns, not only the different bullet patterns of the bosses, but also you'll learn which weapon is best to have in which situation. So now I know I have to harvest this laser weapon a couple of times, because the next wave of enemies is going to be really easy to kill with the lasers. And then I have to harvest the big fire weapon and stuff like that. I really like that. And actually, you can get like 3 or maybe even 4 different weapons already in the first stage if you just try to harvest weapons from the different enemies.
Yes, yeah. So you can sort of.
There's so much to play around
between.
With.
Yeah, there is. It's just so many nuances to this. I absolutely adore it. I mean, is there any other bits you want to sort of finish off before we go on to the next classic game?
There is one small annoyance that I have to get out of the way.
Yeah, please do.
That is, I really love this game. As I've already said, this is my favorite Mega Drive shooter now. There is one thing, and that's why you need to play it on a CRT on the real hardware. Both in level 1, when you're fighting the boss, and in the beginning of level 2, there's too much going on in the background of the screen. When you're fighting the boss, there's lots of debris, I think it's leaves, actually, flying around. And it can be hard to see the bullet patterns and see the lasers that the enemy is firing because of all this disturbance in the background. That's a lot less disturbing on real hardware on a CRT, but on the emulator, I could hardly see anything.
Which bit was the leaves? Was that the when you're going through the asteroid?
No, that's when you're fighting this mecha.
Oh, that's shedding the... Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and then the beginning of the second stage, right at the beginning, you're flying really, really fast, and all these clouds are going by.
Mm.
Again, in the emulator, with these layers they put on to make it look better on the big screen, it was really hard to see what was bullets and what was just clouds, right?
Yeah.
So you really need to play this on a real CRT, on the real hardware. I don't know. Can you actually play this on the Wii Virtual Console as well?
No, I don't think it's ever been converted. You really need to either play it on emulator, or ideally, as you say, on original hardware.
Yeah, I mean, this game is enough to make me buy an EverDrive if I didn't already have one.
yeah. I mean, it's because unfortunately, this does. I think it's another £150
game. Yes, it has quite a steep price. Yes.
So it's it's unfortunately that. Limited options for people, but well worth sort of tracking down. So I suppose, shall we go on to the next game then?
Yes, let's.
I mean, this is like classic after classic. So we'll just lead in with some music and see if you can guess what we're going to cover next. So for those that know their shoot 'em ups, you've probably already realized it's the fantastic game Thunder Force 3, also released in 1990, and by another amazing shoot 'em up house known as Technosoft. Which I mean, they did all the Thunder Force games, of course, but they also did the Herzog games, the Herzog's Y and Herzog, the first one. They also did Devil Crush, bizarrely, actually, which is a rather cool pinball game on the TurboGrafx. But I mean, Herzog's Y in particular could have been another one that we could have chosen for our list, isn't it? I mean, that's a classic. But I think we did right to choose, in terms of a straight shoot 'em up, this game, Thunder Force 3.
Yes, and this is definitely a game that a lot of people have fond memories of from back in the day.
Mm. Well, it is. It's definitely one of the most loved series for horizontals, on the Mega Drive at least, yes. Isn't it? It's really certainly one that I always go straight towards, because it's one of those that's very easy to get into, isn't it? With in terms of, and I don't mean easy to play necessarily, but it's
definitely not easy to play.
Yeah, it's quite a straight shoot 'em up in many regards. It's so there's not too much to learn. It's a good one to sort of dive into, I think, for people that, you know, enjoy their shoot 'em ups, isn't it?
Well, I'll actually have to disagree here, Paul. I thought it was quite hard to get started with this game. I didn't play Thunder Force before, strangely.
You never played it before?
No, only just briefly. Yeah. This is the first time I really gave it a good try. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to get used to here. For example, you have to switch between the weapons, and you have to know which weapon to use at which time. And unlike other shooters, you don't have just one weapon at the time. You can actually switch between the weapons while you're playing. You choose weapons on the C button, right?
Yeah.
And some weapons will fire ahead of you. Some will fire backwards and a little forwards as well. And some will fire up and down as well, with these missiles that let you run along the bottom and top of the screen. So you can shoot some stuff that is going to shoot you as soon as you pass it. You have to shoot that before you get there. It took me a while to get used to that. And it also demands a very, very high level of memorization. You have to memorize the levels, or you'll be dead. So you have to learn beforehand which enemies will pop up, etc. And I managed to get through the first level by learning the patterns, and I got to the boss in the second level, but I didn't get further than that because it was actually quite hard for me to learn how to play this game.
That's interesting with that, because I didn't, out of all the ones we were sort of playing, you're right about the memorization.
Yeah.
Because you're absolutely right, the knowing how to do the weapon structure, isn't it, for the you can do different sort of patterns, as you were describing there, isn't it? And that's quite sort of key.
Yeah, that's very important.
I suppose for me, Thunder Force is because I've probably played the series quite a bit, I suppose. So it's interesting hearing a sort of new perspective. But it's beautiful game, though, isn't it? I mean, the just so much technical wizardry going on, isn't it, with the parallax scrolling and just the music again. You gotta shout out that music. It's just great tunes and just great use of colors and vibrant of the levels.
It's definitely very, very colorful. Yes.
Did you reach the Gorgon stage, the one with that flame effect in the background? It's like a planet on fire.
Yes, that was, for me, that was the second stage I played. The first one was, the green one, where you have to fight this. What's the first boss? The stage that you can select your own stage in this game, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
So initially, when you push start, you can select between four or five different stages. But if you just select the standard one, the first one, that's the one I started with. And do you remember what the boss is called in the first one?
No, I never
He's
knew
the big
the names.
One with the flamethrower.
Yeah, there's the one with the flamethrower, isn't it?
He's quite fun. I like it.
It's quite good sort of patterns to learn. You can always feel you can learn with the big boss patterns, isn't it? The firing patterns. It's one that you learn, but once you've learned it, you can beat it with relative ease.
So I've just checked it here. The first stage, the one I'm talking about, is called Hydra, and the target, the end of level boss, is called the Gargoyle.
Ah, the Gargoyle, yes.
And then you have this little information from the beginning, before you even start the stage, that his weak point is his stomach. You have to know that, otherwise you won't be able to kill him when you get there.
Yes, and as we've already established, I'm the sort that goes clicking through all the boring intro bits straight into the shoot 'em up. That is important. And some of the later ones, when it comes to the boss, it does a big question mark, doesn't it? So you're left to work it out on your own.
Yes.
But no, this is great, and I'm amazed you've never, particularly knowing that you're such a fan of sort of like 2D shooters. I'm amazed you've never ever played this series before, because it's such a great series, as you're probably discovering now for the episode.
Well, I am a big fan of shooters, definitely. But you have to remember that I grew up only a PC gamer, or what you'd call it. I played on my Commodore 64 and my Amiga and stuff like that. So Mega Drive and stuff like that only happened to me a couple of years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So I haven't gotten through all of the back catalog yet.
Well, to be fair, I don't think the Thunder Force 3 actually, that it had never seen a PAL release. Thunder Force 3.
Really?
But 4 had, so maybe it was 4 I cut my teeth on. I don't know, I'm getting old, I can't remember. But I definitely remember loving one of these games as a kid. But Thunder Force 3 never saw a PAL release. I think this is even better than the fourth one. The fourth one's very close to this. If you enjoyed Thunder Force 3, then give Thunder Force 4 a go as well. 2's very good, incidentally, but totally different. It's like a overhead game.
Okay.
So it's big, completely different from where the direction they went to. And for those who love their Saturns, and it's a game that it was one of the first Japanese games I bought, because it only came out in Japan. Thunder Force 5.
Yes, I've heard about that one.
Yeah, I would say out of all of them, and this is, again, my own personal viewpoint, number 3 is the best in my personal opinion.
Okay.
Just purely because it's just that little bit slightly easier to the other ones. Incidentally, the fourth one in the US, known as Lightning Force. So some people might know this series under that name when it came out in the US. But this is a great shooting series, and you're quite highly regarded. I was reading, it was quite nice actually, with some of these, not all the games were covered by Meme Machines, which is a UK magazine. But I was fascinated to read, you know, some of their reviews of it back in the day. And they really quite like this. They gave it 86%, and saying, you know, although it's been available for an import for over a year, it's still one of the best, you know, most technically stunning Mega Drive blasters around. They were just like drooling over that the fiery backdrop levels that we mentioned on the volcano.
Yes.
Planet, and yeah, it's they did mention it is tough and challenging, but also always, you know, felt fair.
Well, I would agree with that. You have to learn how to play it. I mean, you can have 5 weapons to switch between. You have to choose the right one. You have to memorize the level so you know what's coming at you. And not only are the enemies trying to kill you, the environment is trying to kill you as well. For example, that lava level you just mentioned, there'll be geysers of lava shooting out from the floor and ceiling as well sometimes, I think. Mm. So you have to...
Yeah, there's always something going on trying to kill you.
Yes.
But it's a real classic. And I'm quite excited for you to try some of the others in the series. You know, now I know you're a Thunder Force virgin, as it were. So I'll be curious to see what you think, with particularly number 4.
This game is definitely a game I'll have to revisit, because I like the hard games. I like hard shmups where you have to learn how to play them, actually. So this is a game I'll have to spend more time with, but it's quite hard for me for this first time.
Yeah, no, definitely. So we lead into the next game, or do you have any final thoughts over that?
No, not really. It's just a great game, and I encourage anybody to try it out if they haven't.
Definitely. And what we would love, actually, with our listeners, you know, please write to us either on Twitter or our Facebook page, or, you know, even our forums, you know, theretroasylum.com. Just go on the forums and join there. And just let us know what your takes of some of the games that we're going through. Because, you know, hopefully, as I say, a lot of these games you might not have tried before. So it'd be we'd be fascinated to see your opinions. And hopefully, if it encourages you to try some of these games, all the better.
Yeah, and then once you've tried them, post your high scores and I'll see if I can beat them.
Yes, yeah, because I'm no challenge for Mads, you see, so he needs other challenges, don't he?
And I'm really not that good.
he is, listeners. He's just modest. Okay, well, I suppose let's lead into the next one, because I've just any excuse to play this some of this music here. Okay, so for those that probably come across this and perhaps given it a try, it is, of course, Troubleshooter, or known in Japan as Battle Mania, released in 1991 by Vic Tokai Corporation. And, of course, they're the company that brought us Psycho Fox on the Master System and Decap Attack. Isn't it? So two great games. And again, it's I find it fascinating with things like Victor Kai that they could create such a great shooter when they're probably better known for, well, I suppose Victor Kai are all over the place in what they in what they're known for, but certainly those two are platformers.
Yes.
And I suppose they're like a Japanese telecommunications company, from what I understand. So they so this was just like a branch off that they tended to do for you know, their video game department. So I suppose it's like the Japanese equivalent of like Warner Communications when they started taking over Atari and things like that.
Yeah, sort I guess so. But they definitely did do a lot of games.
Yes, no, they did, and they did a lot of conversions. That you know, not all of them were their original games, but they sort of brought a lot of games across to the West and things like that, isn't it? That's what they were known for. But on to this game, for those who've never played it, and there's probably quite a few that have never played it, Troubleshooter, or Battle Mania, has you play two girls called Madison and Crystal. And they're basically, hence the name Troubleshooters, they're girls that are called upon a bit like Charlie's Angels when, you know, when there's something terrible that's happened. So, for example, in this example, the king's son has been kidnapped, so they've been hired to get the prince back. That's the general idea.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And it's beautiful, this game, isn't it? So bright and vibrant, crazy sort of like levels and character designs. The big gimmick with this is, as I mentioned before, you have two girls and it's a single player game. So you're playing both girls at the same time. And so the gimmick is the second character, Crystal, you can press the C button. Well, it depends how you got it configured, but the C button to change her direction. So you can either have both of the girls facing forwards, and in which case that's double the firepower, or have Crystal turn the other way, and so then you're covering both shooting forwards and shooting backwards. So that's the general sort of idea with this game.
And while that may sound like any other shooting game where you can shoot backwards as well, this in fact the two girls, they don't stick together all the time. So sometimes you can get split up because of obstacles in the environment and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you have to control the girls sometimes individually as well. it's a great mechanic, really. I love this game.
Yeah, although it does get frustrating and some of the more obstacle-based. I lost a few lives just purely because I'd made it through with Madison, but Crystal had got caught. You know, when it's the false scrolling on some of the later obstacle courses, that was a bit annoying. But,
actually, I haven't tried that. In the second game that we'll talk about later on, if you lose Crystal, if she gets out of the screen, she just flips back in as soon as she disappears.
Yeah, no, it kills you in the first one.
Oh, I forgot that.
you got more skill than me. I think that was
actually this is one of the very few. Actually, maybe this is the only shoot 'em up I've ever one CC'd. I've ever completed on one credit.
Wow.
This is a great game. I love this. You introduced me to this game, I think, 2 years ago?
Yeah, well it was actually another listener on our good friends, the Retro Game Squad, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they we had like a gaming club. For those who don't listen, they have like a community pick, and I presume one of the people had voted for this game, wasn't it? And we all fell in love with it. So I can't take the credit for discovering this game.
I thought it was you.
No, but I did. I fell in love with it big time.
It is a great game, and I got quite obsessive with it during a couple of weeks. So I eventually finished it on a single credit, but it's a great shooter.
I still don't know how you managed it on a single credit.
You have to save a lot of lives for the last boss fight, because that is quite hard.
But that is what's so amazing with it. It's just totally mad, isn't it? You've got mechanical helicopter penguins. You've got the end of level boss that does the he laughs at you, isn't he? He's a big red boss, and he sort of he fires out "Hars," you know, the word "har," H-A, at you, and it's just hilarious. And I suppose we can give slight spoilers, can't we, with the game? It's old enough. What do you reckon about the? Because I love that bit near the end, where with the ceremony.
Spoil away.
Should I spoil? So people, close off your ears for the next minute if you don't want it spoiled. Basically, there's one bit near the end where you think it's all finished. You've got the prince. You've met the daddy, saying thank you and everything, and the credits start to roll.
Yes.
And then the big enemy jumps out, doesn't he? And you realise that there's a whole new level. You've got to fight the big enemy. He's still there.
I remember the first time I got there. I was quite angry with the game, actually, because I was so proud. I got there on one credit and I beat the game, and I was watching the credits and, hey, what's going on? And then I was dead.
Yeah. Yeah, it does surprise you, doesn't it, the first time you were trying. So, but yeah, no, that's great. And it's quite cool as well as the levels progress, because when you rescue, this is even before, when you rescue the prince, you can actually take control of the prince as well. You know, so there's three people shooting. Although he's always sort of separate to the others. He's still tied to where you move, isn't it? So if you move to the right, he'll move to the left.
And he's quite handy to have around the final fight.
Yes. Yeah, so he's learning how to use him. But it's just a fun, madcap Japanese crazy game. And I can see why you love it the other thing we forgot to mention, at the beginning, you choose the type of jetpack that you want, isn't it?
Yes.
And that will be your special weapon. So that's quite important at the beginning, to choose what kind of special weapon fire do you want when you press the special button key. What is it going to do?
And you can choose a new one for each level.
Yes, so at the beginning of each level, you've got, we'll give you sort of like from behind viewpoint in the car, isn't it? And you can choose which jetpack she's going to wear, which is a nice touch, you know, a nice way of making the decision. The only thing I didn't like with the game was level two with all the circular saws. That annoyed me, that level.
I was just about to say that at level two, you have to fly downwards all the time and avoid a lot of circular saws and enemies coming from left and right. And for some reason, shoot 'em up levels where you fly downwards never really work for me. I'm terrible at them.
Yeah.
So that was something you just have to suffer through, I think. But actually, the boss fight in that level is quite funny. I enjoyed that one.
The one with the, it's got all the flames. Because I found that annoying. There was the flames going through and the guy comes down, doesn't it?
Yes.
I found that annoying. What is it you liked about that one? Because that was one of my least favorite boss battles.
Well, let's just be sure we're on the same boss battle here. So in the end, you are down in this single chamber, just one screen. You can't move up or down anymore. Mm-hmm. It stands still. And there are a wall. There's a wall sticking up from the bottom of the screen and a wall sticking down from the top of the screen that kind of divides the screen into three. And then you have these two little orbs that you have to shoot, and they shoot lasers at you that bounce off the walls. So you have to manure your two girls, Madison and Crystal, individually, because the only one that could get hurt is Madison. If she dies, you die. So you have to keep her away from harm's way while shooting them with the crystal. And that was a great mechanic, I think. I mean, you can when the these well, what are they? Are they saw blades or what are they that shoot lasers? When they're on one side of the screen, you have to maneuver Madison to the other and make sure you get Crystal stuck somewhere so you can control her individually. No, I like that mechanic.
I see. I think we're definitely talking about the same one, but it's. I think I didn't learn the nuances, so I just kept on dying and getting frustrated, and finally made my way through it.
I remember it being very frustrating to begin with, but once you get the point that you have to just protect Crystal, no, Madison, and let Crystal do all the work, then it becomes a lot easier.
The one I love is because it has the obligatory massive battleship on level 3, isn't it?
Yes.
And I just love at the end, you're sort of battling all the way through, and then obviously bits of the battleship are falling apart. And the last bit is it's a robot on an exercise bike, and he's cycling, and he's running the engine, and then you have to like take him out, and obviously that brings down the battleship. And I think that gives you a good sense of the crazy humour.
Yes.
That this game brings. I had a lot of fun. I still prefer the sequel, which we're going to cover as part of our lineup. But it is still a brilliant shooter.
Yes, definitely.
Is there any other thoughts you had about this one? Or?
Well, there's one thing I would like to ask you. I mean, the third stage, as you say, the entire stage is shooting down one battleship piece for piece.
Yeah.
I've seen that somewhere before in an older game on my Amiga. Can you remember where that is?
That was R-Type, wasn't it, on the Amiga? Because R-Type has that big battleship.
Yes, I know. Probably it's just R-Type. I've been playing R-Type as well. I thought there was some other game as well. Well, never mind.
Perhaps our listeners will know. That's the only one I can think of that had the big ship.
Yeah,
But I'm sure there's others. I mean, to be honest, even some of the lineups where I think even Gaia has had a massive battleship. It's a sort of a given ever since R-Type, the days of R-Type. The idea of having a massive multi-screen battleship to take on.
It probably is just R-Type I'm thinking about.
Yeah. Well, is there any other bits, or shall we go on to the next game?
Let's go on to the next one.
Yeah. So let's come in with the music, because I love the music to this next game. So let's play it for you now. Yeah, for those who don't know, that was Glaylancer that came out in 1992 by NCS. NCS Nippon Computer Systems is the name of the developer. And they're probably best known for the cute fighting games, the Ramna games, or the RPG, the Langrisser series. But they did two of my favorite shooters, this being one, Glaylancer, and they also did Gyrus, or Wings of War, as it was known in America, which is a game that we're not going to cover, but that is another amazing shooter, by the way, for those who don't know. But I will say that I found that Gyrus is even tougher than this one. For those who don't know, in the game you play, it's a horizontal shooter. You play Lucia Cabrock. Her dad gets swallowed up in this weird warp. So she, as you do, decides to nick the fleet's latest experimental ship called the Advanced Buster Hawk Glaylancer ship and sets off to rescue him. That's the general sort of storyline. But the reason I love with this game is there's so much flexibility to it in terms of the drone ships. You can set this game, so the drone ships are like the two side elements that you can pick up for your craft, and you can actually set this game to either be on auto target, which is fine, or you can even set it where it's on manual target, so you can actually control exactly where they're shooting. There's so many options, isn't it, that you can go through.
I must admit, I didn't try all of them, because there are like 8 or 9 different configurations.
Yeah, exactly.
So and, I tried a few of them, and the normal one where the gunners, they face the same direction that the ship is moving.
Yeah.
And then you can hold the C button down, and then their direction is locked, so you can move without moving the guns as well.
Yeah.
That's very flexible once you get used to it, but it takes a bit of getting used to. So I actually ended up using the roll, the bottom one, it's called roll, where these guns just constantly spin around the ship at 180 degrees from each other, and then they shoot away from each other. That is quite efficient. And then if you tap the C button in that mode, they'll be both firing forwards instead when you're in a boss battle or something like that. That's very efficient, I find.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to go for the search mode, you know, where the auto search.
But so, didn't you find that it wouldn't always home in on the stuff you wanted to home in on?
Yeah, absolutely. But I also found that people have probably heard on other shows that I've done, I'm one of those, I'm not very good at doing two things at once. You know, like the patting the head and rubbing the belly, I end up patting the belly and rubbing the head. so I ended up in a mess trying to do so. Although it was frustrating, at least the more often than not it helped me survive, because I wasn't concentrating on which direction to point the drones. But for those who are skilled, I can imagine having that more control is better on the drones. But it's lovely that they give you that option, isn't it? It is really lovely.
It really is, and it leads to very, very different play styles. So you can play these games in very many ways. So it also gives the game a more, what do you call it, longevity? That you can live longer because you can play it in different ways and experiment with it.
Yeah, exactly, because it's the sort of game you could well, it's a tough game, but if you did beat it in one method, definitely worth going back to it just to try a different drone method.
Yes.
And the other thing that's really cool with this is it uses the speed to great effect. Basically, the other button can be used to control the actual ship speed, which is like awesome. So you can make it move faster. There's 4 different speed levels, so you can either have it sort of like, obviously 1 being the slowest, which is can be useful, I suppose. And
I never used the slow mode actually.
what speed did you use? I used 3.
2 or 3, I think.
Yeah, I tended to stick with 3 because I like the fluidity. But again, it's just beautiful that you have that flexibility in this game that you can sort of like choose. And then
I have to just mention that actually you do have that in Gyrus as well. You have
to Yes, sorry, we didn't mention that.
Very important in that game. The first time I met the end of level boss, I couldn't beat it, and I didn't know what to do. It was because you have to be at the highest speed when you get there. Mm. Otherwise, you won't be able to avoid the bullet patterns.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
so sorry to stray off.
No, you're absolutely right. We should have mentioned that. It's difficult to think of everything with all these games, isn't it?
Yes.
But I'm just thinking about this game, and there's just so many. I love the cheesy voice of the ship. Saying stick to it and believe in your power. A large enemy stands in your way and you're like, duh, yeah, of course. What you mean, that thing that's taking up the entire screen?
There was quite a nice intro as well, and also cutscenes, these anime cutscenes that we
the animated cutscenes are great. It's a real shame actually that it's all in Japanese, so yes. I only know the general story by sort of reading up on it all, and sort of seeing. But it's quite cool, isn't it? As you said, it does make you want to sort of, knowing the story, it does make you want to sort of go on through it. I will say that I love the game up to level 4, and then I get frustrated because basically level 4, it decides to go into like an obstacle course, doesn't it?
And a very tough one at that.
And a very tough one where you explain it, Mads. You explain it.
Well, I think I totally agree with you. The first three levels are actually rather easy. Especially the bosses are a piece of cake. Their bullet patterns are extremely easy to avoid. So you just fly through the first three levels. But the fourth one, that is so hard. It sees you trying to avoid obstacles while shooting cannons that are only reachable, i.e. shootable, very, very late. So, damn, that's hard. But I did enjoy it after practicing, because I did get through it eventually. You have to go for one of the drone ski schemes where it's rotating around you or searching for the goal. And then you have to work with the fact that when you are very, very close to one of these small walls, your drones can actually fly through them and shoot stuff on the other side.
Yeah.
So you can clear those cannons or lasers away before you fly over them. And another thing is those lasers that are there in this labyrinth that you're traversing, they fire in a set pattern. So it's always, I think it's left to right, and it's about one shot per second. So you can actually navigate through them. So eventually I got to the boss, and I was very happy, and I was looking forward to seeing the next stage, and then I met the boss. So the boss in this level is devious. It's just a ball. It's a bouncing ball, nothing else. You can't let it hit you, and the room you're in is shrinking. Mm. And it becomes very, very small in the end. So it's so hard to avoid. So sadly, I didn't get past that.
Yeah. I spent a whole good number of evenings actually on this. So it's a big, I'm a big fan of this game. As I say, I kept on playing and I kept on dying. I think I got about as far as stage 5 doing it completely, which was good for me. You know, that was a lot of upset and hurling controllers and getting frustrated and going back to it. And then I did the cheat again, I'm afraid. But one of the things Mads always looks at me disapprovingly with this. But I will say with this cheat, it's really, really good. I'm going from memory. I will put in the show notes, but I think it's, or for those who ask, I probably won't put in the show notes because it will ruin it for people that don't want to do it. But if you press A and C, so you pause the game, you press A, C and left. And then with all of those pressed, you press start. Now, one of the cool things with the cheat, is it's completely configurable. So you can use the cheat menu, and it's valid up until for that entire level. So it goes back to normal on the subsequent level. But you can do, you know, infinite lives if you want to go down that path. But you can even choose at any point doing this cheat menu to change the drone attacks, for example.
Oh, that would be quite handy.
Yeah, so there's a lot of elements with it where you can sort of tweak the game just to give you that slight edge, you know, and use that additional tactics where you can say, okay, let's put it on to, you know, manual mode or roll mode with the drones and just help you on that boss. Because that is the big problem with this, really, isn't it? It's if you, and a lot of the shooters we already mentioned, is that if you get to the end of level boss and you die, with, you know, you're then in the realm of you're up against a massive boss with a pea shooter.
Yes.
And it yes. gets very upsetting. So this is another thing you can actually, I think I'm going from memory now with the things you can like increase your weapons and stuff. So it's quite a good little cheat menu if you're a little cheater like me.
Well, I have to be honest, Paul. I can't do it. My OCD just won't let me
it won't let you
cheat
do it.
On shoot 'em ups. Actually, it won't let me use more than one credit either. I always play one credit, and I want to see how far I get. It's probably because my formative years as a gamer was in the arcades, so I'm used to playing arcade games, and you pop in your Danish kroner, it would be for me, kroner, and you get your game, and I would never continue while playing arcade games, because I would get more playtime out of starting over. So it's very, very ingrained in me by now. So
yeah, no, I know you're doing the right thing. I know. I think that my trouble is all the Amiga days with the trainer menus and things. The temptation was always
those.
There.
I would say.
So. I'm weak, Mads. What can I say? I'm weak.
Out of not using them.
But now, interestingly, with this game, a lot of people don't like it. And I think it doesn't deserve, the complaints that people throw at it. I mean, I found it fascinating. I was like pouring through like some of the old magazines. And can you believe Mean Machines only gave this game 48%? I don't know. You probably don't. Do you know Mean Machines? Did that go over?
Yeah.
Oh, so you know that.
No, I only know
Julian Brignall and that.
Years.
Oh, okay. So. Well, Mean Machines was like a really big sort of like console magazine. And particularly known for Julian Rignall, he was quite well regarded in the game reviewing scenes. Now he only gave this game 48%, and I'll just read out what he said. They call it Grey Lancer, so already already the thing. What do they know?
That tells you how much time he spent with it.
Well, to be fair, they probably know that. The Japanese struggle with the word, the letter R, so perhaps they were just assuming. But they say, Grey Lancer treads the well-worn scroll blast and power-up boards with a few new ideas to show off. Its best point is its different firing modes, but what a shame to only allow the player to pick one mode at a time. Cycling through them in mid-game would have added a whole new aspect, hence the cheat mode, isn't it, I was telling, to the otherwise dull proceedings. Another problem is you spend more time dodging things than blasting, which quickly gets tedious. The game desperately needs more action, but what really killed it all for me was the game is very easy to complete. Very easy to complete! Shoot 'em up fans should breeze through this within a day. I don't know anyone. I want to meet those shoot 'em up fans. Actually, the Sean on the 10 Pence Arcade podcast, I bet he could probably breeze through it. I bet he's one of those people.
Now, that fourth level, you really have to learn how to
call it. That fourth level, it got me so upset. And the weird thing is I've heard people complain about it where they're saying that they hated where it's just ordinary shoot 'em ups, but then it got to like the dodging levels,
yes,
and it starts becoming unique and interesting, and that's totally the opposite as of my take of this game. Is that I love it when it's a straight blaster, but as soon as it gets to avoiding things and becoming an obstacle course, I hate it.
I have to say, I actually enjoyed the fourth level. Maybe I just like punishing myself, but the first three ones are probably better. Yes.
Yeah. No, it's very, and apparently this is another one you can pick up on the virtual console if the Wii's still ticking
that's
along.
That's what you want to do, because I found the price to be about £250.
Yes, it's so sad, isn't it? I must admit as well. It's the one thing we haven't discussed about is how gorgeous are all the box arts for all of these games, particularly in the Japanese region.
Yes.
Is there any other thoughts you have with this game at all, Mads? Or
well, let's see. No, I think we've covered pretty much everything.
Yeah. It's a solid blaster, and as I say, it's obviously not everybody's cups of tea. Some people really hate this game. I'm not one of them. I think it's one of the prettiest on the system. It's just such a shame that it gets ruined, particularly in some of the later levels, because I sort of like carried on beyond, and it unfortunately a lot of it is the obstacle courses. Okay. After level
four, it's not just the fourth one.
Yeah, which is a bit of a shame, but it's well worth, even for the music alone, I'd say it's worth it. I love the music to this game.
I think this was another great shoot 'em up, but considering the list we have already, this is not the first one I'd start out with.
No, it's they're all pretty tough, but it's a good one to sort of track down. So I suppose, shall we go to a more affordable shooter next?
Yes, let's do it.
Yeah, so let's play some of the music for the next game. Okay, so the next game is Steel Empire, or Empire of Steel, depending on where you are in the world. Came out in 1993 developed by a company called Hot B Company Limited, which is one that I had never really heard of, but I did a bit of digging with them to see what they'd done, and they basically have done like Japanese RPGs, which is not a genre that I know a lot about, so I didn't recognize a lot of the names. And fishing games, they did done some fishing games, so quite a weird little company really. But it was also released, sort of published by Flying Edge, which is like a division of Activision. so again, it's at least that's something we know, but that's with the sort of like with publishing of it. And this is really unique game, isn't it? It's basically, how do we describe it? It's steampunk themed game. It also takes influences from, if you've ever seen the anime Laputa, Castle in the Sky, you can see a lot of influences from that. What I love about the game is you get to pilot a zeppelin, which you're a blimp. You can choose between the two crafts, can't you, Mads? So you have basically, you can choose a boring old plane, who wants to choose that, or you can choose a cool zeppelin, cool like blimp that is just fantastic. And thankfully it's not like the Hindenburg where it's actually got I suppose helium as opposed to hydrogen, so it's not too explosive.
I just love flying that zeppelin, and you really have to choose the zeppelin because it's slower, but it's much more powerful and it can take more shots. And with the slowdown in this game, you can still move quick enough in this big thing, so there's no problem to avoid the bullets while you're in the blimp.
Yes, no, absolutely. It's that's one of the things I quite like with this. I mean, admittedly, it's quite a standard shooter, really, isn't it? But it's such a unique setting. The fact that it's a steampunk setting, that it just makes it so cool. And of course, like a lot of shooters, they all have their gimmick. And the gimmick with this, which is quite cool, is you can actually shoot both directions. So you can either press, so button C, I think it is, depending on how you configure it, I suppose. But one button will shoot forwards, and one button, usually A, will shoot backwards, isn't it?
Yes.
So that's kind of like a really cool, and you definitely need it in this because the enemies are coming at you all directions all the time.
Yeah, and they lead you in quite gently as well. If I remember correctly, you hardly have to use shooting backwards in the first stage. You just shoot forwards and learn how to control the ship and all that. Mm. But in the second stage, it becomes very, very important because you get ambushed and you get attacked from forwards and backwards at the same time sometimes. So
yes,
learn how to use it.
It's certainly learning, and it's as I say, just lots of memorable scenes, isn't it? I mean, I love the fact that as you sort of, I just love how everywhere looks so different. You know, one futuristic sort of steampunk city, and then you're going underground. It reminded me a lot of Strider, actually, the look and feel of some of the backgrounds, that sort of mixture. I suppose it was because there was a lot of domed buildings and things, but that was quite cool. And going underground was an awesome effect as well, wasn't it? As on the following stage, and you also had the train level was pretty cool. Just loads of clever effects going on.
The train level would be the third one, right?
The third one, yes, yeah. So I was sort of skipping around a bit there, but it's I really sort of enjoy this shooter. This is another one that I think we discovered in I think it was another one that our friends at the Retro Game Squad introduced me to, at least, and I've sort of been hoovering it up ever since, because I will say, with this shooter, it's one of the shooters that you can pick up a PAL version for only sort of £6 to £10. Finally a game that I can actually afford.
Quite affordable, yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, the PAL version will play on my Genesis as well? Some games do.
I don't know. But I imagine I'm pretty sure it's pretty cheap in the US as well. So maybe just pick up a US version. Because, I mean, you're probably more skilled, so you notice these things. But it is probably a case that you probably don't want PAL shooter. You probably want the US on a US hardware.
For shoot 'em ups, you really, really don't want to be playing the PAL versions, sadly.
Yeah.
Because, we did get how much, 20%, 18% slower games back then, and you need that speed for the shoot 'em ups. So, I'm happy that I got my Genesis.
Although, having said that, having it run a little bit slow, it kind of suits my skill level.
I think that's why you like this game, Paul, because there's so much slowdown. So
there is, yeah.
Snail through the game. I mean, I must say, this is the only game we played that I didn't really click with. Because it's got simple graphics, but I like them. They're quite okay. It's finally a game that's not too busy, because all of the other games we've been playing were, well, you had to be quite concentrated to play them because they were quite busy. Lots of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. This is more lean back and relaxed, I guess. But, I mean, the sound effects, they really, really stink. They sound like something that was made on, well, on my Commodore 64 or something like that.
That's not a bad thing.
Come on, when you shoot stuff down, it says pluck. The music, it isn't awesome, but it's okay. I like that. The music side is just fine, but the sound effects, they really let me down. I didn't enjoy that. And then there's the slowdown. Initially, I hated it because I like my games to be smooth and stuff like that. But actually, I learned to appreciate it when I was, for example, at the boss in the third level, which is quite a challenging boss fight.
Mm.
If you shoot at the same time as the boss is shooting, like 50 bullets at the same time, if you start shooting, then it'll slow down to maybe 50% of the original speed. And then you can easily maneuver around the boss's bullets. So you have to remember, shoot all the time, even when you're not aiming at the boss, because then it's easier to navigate around the bullets. But I don't know. Too much slowdown, actually.
You see, you call it slowdown, I call it matrix mode, you see.
That's how I should see it.
I use any trick in the book to help me survive that extra minute.
Shoot 'em ups.
Yeah, exactly. No, I know where you're coming from. Actually, of all the ones we're sort of covering, this is probably the weakest of all the ones we're covering, in my opinion.
Okay.
But we wanted an affordable shooter on the list that people could actually sort of buy.
The affordable one is the worst one of the batch.
But it's a Zeppelin. You get to fly a Zeppelin. It could be like the worst game in the world, but you get to fly a Zeppelin. It's I'm sold at that point.
how did you get along with, for example, the escape sequence in level 2? I mean, halfway through level 2, you shoot a small mini boss, and then you turn around, and then you have to escape this underground lair.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that section?
Well, at least it's doing something different, wasn't it? I mean, it wasn't an annoying bit, but it...
Oh, that section infuriated me. for the listeners, you're flying very, very fast through a small tunnel that's branching up and down and up and down at an angle all the time.
Yeah.
And no matter how good you do, you will crash into the walls sometimes. But they remedy that instead of doing good level design so that it's actually possible to learn how to navigate it. They just give you lots and lots of power-ups. So just try to stick at it, fly into the walls, and pick up the power-ups all the way. Oh, I hated that.
It is. There's a lot of. I was more frustrated with the windmill things that kept them firing at you. It was so constant. Was that a level? Was that the one after the train? I can't remember. I found that was more frustrating. I mean, one thing I will say with this is the director of this, which is N. Yamaguchi. I'm not sure of his first name. He just is down as N. He also worked on Viewpoint, which is another great shooter if you ever played that one.
Yes.
On the Neo Geo. But that's another frustrating shooter. Now, I had a lot of fun with this, mainly, but I think it probably was more the setting, the fact that it's steampunk and there isn't too many games. I'm a real sucker for steampunk, and I'm a real sucker for Zeppelins, as you probably can tell. So I was sold on this game. Incidentally, I looked, Mean Machines gave this 70%. They said that you really need to put the game on hard for a decent challenge.
Okay. I didn't try that. I just played it on a normal go.
Yeah, I think it was challenging enough even on normal, to be honest.
The escape sequence was definitely challenging enough.
Yeah. I think they always used to love on Mean Machines. They always used to put statements like that to show their gaming prowess. Mm-hmm. So they were always complaining about how easy games were. Which maybe to them they were easy, but certainly not to me.
They did play a lot of games, so.
Well, that's true. That's true. So is there any other elements you want to add about Steel Empire, or Empire of Steel, as it was known in Europe?
No, not really. It wasn't really my cup of tea, sadly.
No, but okay, well, let's go on to the next one, which is, and our final one, which is my favourite, I think, probably of all of them. Let's play some music leading in and see what you think. Okay, so our final game is Battle Mania 2. So this is the sequel to Troubleshooter, or Battle Mania 1, obviously. But this game came out right at the tail end of 1993, also by the Victorkai Corporation. And it's also known as Battle Mania. I can never say Japanese. Daijinjo.
Daijinjo, yeah.
Daijinjo. Isn't that a type of sake?
no idea.
I'm sure that's like a posh sake. I'm sure.
You keep calling it Battle Mania 2, so I thought that was because you knew your Japanese and the Jinju was just 2.
No, well, it might be. I don't know. I just remember being drunk at a Japanese restaurant many years ago, and I'm sure there was posh sake or whatever it's called. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It probably is 2 for Japanese or double or something like that, isn't it? We don't know. We should know these things, shouldn't we, really? But anyway, Battle Mania 2, going on, moving swiftly on. I love this game. I think in Japanese it's pronounced Daijinjo. And like the first game, you get to play those two girls with the jetpack again. But really, this takes all the ideas of the first game, but goes up to factor 11, basically. It just takes all those ideas and runs with them. And I think this is a much better shooter than Troubleshooter. And I'm a big fan, as probably came across, of the first game. So what did you think with Battle Mania 2?
Actually being better than the first one, those are big words, but I think I'll probably have to agree with you. I mean, this is a great game. Funnily enough, I'd never played it before. You'd think I would have tried it because I really, really loved the first one, but I never found the time to actually play it, so I'm glad I did. I still love the mechanic of shooting backwards and forwards with the two girls, and it's really used to great effect in this game in most of the levels. And it's just shoot 'em up perfection. It's quite an easy shoot 'em up, like the first Troubleshooter is an easy shoot 'em up compared to a lot of the others we've been playing. And this is still true for the second one. I haven't completed this one, but I think I actually will because I have to get through this as well.
Yeah.
So, it's a perfectly honed home console release, if you ask me. It's something we haven't discussed before, but if you have shooters on arcade machines, you'll mostly have games that are so hard that you will die within 5 to 10 minutes, and then you put in another credit and live for another 2 or 3 minutes, and you go that way all the way, right?
Yeah.
But these games, you can have play sessions for like half an hour and 3/4 of an hour, no problem. And this is the same here. It's if you stay awake and you keep in the zone as you have to with shoot 'em ups, you'll get quite far in this game quickly.
And there's so much imagination, isn't it, with this? I mean, you start off with just playing Madison, isn't it? Just the first, just by herself.
That put me off initially, actually, because I loved the first one and I wanted to see Madison and Crystal and I wanted to shoot backwards and forwards, and then I just had Madison. And then it's actually brilliantly done. I don't know if you noticed, but when you fly upwards in this level.
Yes, yeah.
For some strange reason, that does work for me. I don't know how to, even though you fly upwards and you can't shoot up, you can only shoot sideways, right?
Yeah.
That works for me, even though I don't like stages that where you shoot down, where you fly downwards. But, well, enough about that. You fly upwards, and at some point, you're flying in front of a big window in this skyscraper building, right?
Yeah.
And in the window, you can see your own reflection.
Yes.
Initially, I thought that was Crystal in there, and then she would come out in a minute. And then when somebody burst out from the window, I thought, hey, I've got Crystal. And then it was a mini boss I had to fight instead.
It was like your evil twin, isn't it,
yes,
almost?
Exactly.
Yeah. I just thought that was so cool, like your reflection, and then suddenly you're fighting.
And your talking about over-the-top graphics and fun stuff here. You have to love how the first boss, how you defeat the first boss.
Yes.
So you fly up this skyscraper, and when you get to the top, there's this big boss you have to fight. Actually,
yeah.
I forget how he looks right now. This big,
Yeah, I can't describe him very well, but they use a lot of sort of Japanese iconography, don't they, with the masks and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And when you shoot him, he won't explode or something like that when you're done. Now, instead of exploding and disappearing, what happens is that Crystal comes breaking out of this glass window I talked about before.
Yes, yeah.
In the red Ferrari or whatever they're driving.
Wow, it was, yeah, a car.
It's the boss on the hit.
Yes,
he
that's
falls
it.
Down.
Yeah.
But once you've shot him enough, he'll just find the right position, and then this car comes flying out of the window.
Yeah, and then suddenly it's like you and you're then back into normal, sort of like two controlling the two characters, isn't it? And it goes back to normal. Although there is a lot of more flexibility, isn't it, with how you can control crystal in this. I don't know if you saw on the menu screen.
Actually, I didn't notice, no.
Yeah, you can basically, you can choose, I think there's like three options. So you can choose, the third one's the best one, where you can actually choose eight directions rather than just forward and back. So there's a traditional mode, which is just like you face backwards.
Yes. That's the one I was playing.
Yeah, there's another one where you can sort of press fire and sort of like you move left, if you see what I mean, and face sort of backwards. But there's a third option where you can actually direct of the eight directions for Crystal.
Okay. So I didn't know that was in the options screen.
Yeah, well, the trouble is you have to go around playing around with, because this game, incidentally.
How did you find those options?
Well, it was actually, and this is why I'm a little not probably describing it very well, because like you, I didn't go rooting around all of the things. So only just before doing this recording did I discover the three options, because I was sort of like reading up on, you know, all I could and trying to find out about some of these games, and I just stumbled across this.
Yes.
And it was like, oh my god, I can do eight directions. So it's quite cool. It's okay. Quite cool. So it's one of those. It's such a shame and amazing, really, that this never ever saw a US or even a PAL release. You know, it's a Japanese only game. Well, I think it also came out in Korea and places, but
it is definitely a great game. It's very varied as well. Yeah. I mean, every level is something completely new.
Yes.
The first level, you're flying upwards and fighting all of these enemies, and the second level, your team mechanic is back again. You got both medicine and crystal, and you're flying vertically instead. Mm. And in the third level, well, there's this gimmick that your path keeps getting blocked by different enemies and these roadblocks that the enemies make while they are. But like, for example, it's this little plant thing that grows out of the ceiling and the bottom of the screen as well. And when you shoot them, they stop growing. But what grew out before you shot them stays there. So you have to keep clearing a path. That's the gimmick for that level.
Yeah.
The fourth level, you're flying downwards, and you, like the second level of the first game that I didn't really like. It's tough, but it's not as tough as the second level of the first game. So I enjoyed this one a bit more. And the fifth one is something completely different. Did you try the fifth level as well?
I didn't get that far in this one.
Okay, the fifth level sees you driving the car and then shooting this devil train thingy that's driving around. And this is the first time you can actually shoot upwards while it's still a vertical scroller. You're driving around in the car. So you're only shooting as Madison, and Crystal is doing the driving. I find that quite interesting as well. That
yeah, level. But it is nice, isn't it? How varied it is. And that's what's so wonderful, isn't it, about the Mega Drive game library. There are so many unique games that never saw light of day on any other system, and so many that many people will have never encountered because, you know, it was only in Japan or what have you. I mean, yourself is a great case in point, and you know, same with me with some of these, is that, you know, particularly with yourself, you're a massive shoot 'em up fan, and yet some of these you hadn't come across.
Yes.
So that's the one thing we sort of hope with all of this, is that you'll, you know, some of our listeners will give some of these games a try and see if you find any, like, you know, hidden gems.
Well, I hope that our listeners try out a lot of these games, because there are a lot of hidden gems that I discovered in this episode. So.
Yeah. And is there any other sort of shout outs you wanted to mention that we didn't cover? Bear in mind that we won't go into too much detail, because hopefully we'll perhaps do another shooting episode down the line.
Any other shoutouts? Not really, I think. I mean, Battle Mania or Troubleshooter was my favorite game on the Mega Drive, shmup game on the Mega Drive before this. But apart from that, I think we've covered some of the very best ones on the.
Yeah, I mean, there are some.
There are games like Truxton, for example. That's a great shooter as
That's
well.
That's very good. I mean, and the only reason that probably didn't make this list, personally, again, because it's an arcade port, but also because we had recently covered its sequel on Obscure Arcade Games. episode that we did, so that's why that didn't make the list. It is as one of my favorite shooters with Truxton. There's lots to shout out, really. Hellfire is one that people are always top of people's list. I find that very, very tough again.
Yes.
But again, it's a great shooter. But again, it's I think it's another arcade port, so that's probably why it didn't quite make the cut. We had a tough time, didn't we, Mads? We were sat down with a long list of games, and we were like, okay, which one are we gonna cover, and
whittle
down because we knew we couldn't go through too many of these games.
I do have one more game that I have to shout out. It's purely for nostalgic reasons. Mm-hmm. I used to love to play Battle Squadron on my Amiga. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Used to play it with the mouse, and my friend Morten would play it with the joystick, and we'd do this for long afternoons. I love playing that game. And that's available on the Genesis as well. I've actually never tried the Genesis version, but I'll have to try it after.
Yeah, be curious to know what it's like, because it was solid on the Amiga, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great shooter.
Ooh. And the Amiga had some great shooters on it. Well, anyway, I hope you enjoyed this this episode. Now, don't get angry with us if we haven't covered your favorite game, because that's not what we were really doing here. We weren't covering what were the best shooters on the Mega Drive, but we were trying to cover those games to get that balance where hopefully there's some hidden gems that you've never played before, and also sort of throwing in Steel Empire, whereas there's a game you can actually afford. I will say, actually, if you're after affordable PAL games, pick up Gynog as well, which is another NCS shooter. That only goes for sort of like £6 to £10, and that's another beautiful shooter on the Mega Drive. So what's lead as your sort of new to the team, Mads, what lead out music do you want us to choose?
Well, I think we should choose a track from Musha, actually. Even though both of us didn't think that was the best of the games, that was probably the best soundtrack we had tonight. So.
Amazing soundtrack. Well, I'll choose one of the tunes, and you're absolutely right with the Musha. I've got to say, if you do load up the game, take time looking at the option screen, because not only can you sort of play the music which is great, because it's just probably one of the best soundtracks of all time, isn't it, in terms of sort of like certainly in the Mega Drive shooting realm, but also the names of them are brilliant. They're really, really, really cool names. So anyway, we'll choose one of the tunes on there for you, and we really hope you enjoyed. It's great having Mads on the team here and helping us go through it.
I'm really glad to be here, Paul.
Yeah, well, it's been a pleasure. So thanks, guys and girls, and we'll catch you again. Keep it retro.
This was a Castaway Media production. Find more great podcasts on our network. Visit castaway.media.